Take your Bible this evening and turn to Colossians chapter 3. We won't be long, but I do have a few thoughts I'd like us to consider and think about as we carry on and thinking about the Christian home, and entitled the message tonight, The Characteristics of the Christian Home. Last time we looked at the character of the Christian home in chapter 3 as well, and the preceding verses to where we're going to begin tonight. And so tonight we're going to begin with verse 15 and read down to verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." I think we had some of that tonight. Amen. And that was good. But verse 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Last week we looked at the character of the Christian home. Today we're going to look at these characteristics of the Christian home. Then next week we're going to start looking at the characters of the Christian home. So verse 18 is wives, verse 19 is the husbands, verse 20 is the children, verse 21 is the fathers. So there's the boom, 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 and the men get a double-barrel shotgun there as husbands and fathers. But I trust it'll be a blessing. But tonight I just wanted to take a few minutes to think about the characteristics of Christian home. What should the Christian home look like if the character of the home is those things we talked about last week, where we have charity and forbearance and meekness and all those things that we talked about? Then what is the characteristics of the home then where that is the case? Well, I believe that there is allowance in that home. And I don't mean the dollars and cents allowance. I remember when we lived in England, we didn't get allowance particularly. When we moved to Canada, I remember my dad told us, "When we move to Canada, I'm going to give you an allowance." I thought, allowance, wow, pocket money. We used to call it in England pocket money. Here it was called allowance. Oh boy, we get an allowance. Well, we got here, my dad's job was, he worked and didn't get paid, and could hardly pay the mortgage, let alone give us an allowance. So there was the end of our allowance. But, you know, he eventually, you know, things turned around, and God brought us, of course, used through those things, but he gave us opportunities to work so that we could have money. He allowed us to have money by working for it. And I guess that's the best way anyway. But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about allowance here tonight. The beginning in verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And verse 16 begins, let the word of Christ dwell in you. The word let means to permit or to allow. So there's some allowances in the Christian home, some things that need to take place or that do happen in the Christian home as the characteristics of the home. We spoke a few minutes last week at the end of the message about the peace of God and thanksgiving in verse 15. But I just wanted to look at just a little bit different perspective tonight and to think about allowing peace to rule in the home. Because that's what the Bible says here. And it's talking about our life and it's talking about in our hearts. But if the peace of God is ruling in our hearts, it's going to rule where we are. It's going to rule in our homes. And so allow or let the peace of God rule in your hearts and in your home. We said this morning, Psalm 29:11 speaks of peace as being a blessing of God. And it really is a blessing of God to have peace. Peace with God. The peace of God. Peace of God in our lives. They are blessings that God blesses us with. We are promised perfect peace when we focus on God. And the Bible says that if our minds are stayed on Him, that we'll have peace in our hearts. In Isaiah 26 and verse number 3, peace sometimes seems contrary to understanding. And that's what Philippians 4 says, isn't it? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 talk about being careful or not worrying, not being anxious about anything, but by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding, passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the peace of God sometimes is contrary to our understanding. You say, I shouldn't have a peace, but I do have peace because God gave me that peace. We need to allow that peace in our hearts. Sometimes we're guilty as people of not allowing the peace that God gives us to rule in our life. We say, no, I shouldn't have peace. And then we stress and we worry when God says, no, trust me and let my peace rule in your heart. Let my peace rule in your life. The word rule speaks of governing or having authority. Peace is available to us. The problem is that sometimes we stir up strife rather than letting the peace of God prevail. And so he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart and in your life. What stirs up strife? Well, Proverbs 28:25, one of the things we looked at last week, pride stirs up strife. Because when we're proud, we want everything for me, and it's my way or the highway, and it's got to be up to me. So then there's strife. Anger stirs up strife. Angry people cause strife, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:18 and Proverbs 29:22, that anger stirs up strife. Can you imagine a home where God's peace prevails because the members allow it to, rather than letting pride and anger stand in the way? Allow, let the peace of God, the peace that he gives us when we trust in him, when our minds are focused on him, let that peace rule in your home. And what a blessing that will be to the home. But what, there's another allowance, and that is allow or let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Allow God's word to inhabit your heart and your life, to pervade your heart, to pervade your life, to be the overruling thing that's in your life. The word of God, God's word, make much of it. The word richly means abundantly. Let God's word abundantly inhabit your life. So often we relegate time with God to a certain time of our day. Say, well, I'm starting the day with my quiet time with the Lord, and that's great. But if we just quarantine the time with God to that little period of time, we're missing out on so much. We need to allow that to flood into the rest of our day and to the rest of our life. Allow it to rule in our life. Allow it to control our life. Let it dwell in us richly. That word is used in regards to God's grace in Titus chapter 3 and verse 6, where the Bible says that God's grace was shed on us abundantly. That's that same word, richly. It's used of God's blessings in 1 Timothy 6:17, that he gives us all things richly to enjoy. But here he uses it in regards to his word, and he says, allow it to richly dwell in your life. Allow it to have its overflowing into your life. We're not just talking about knowing the odd verse here or having a head knowledge of the Bible, but allowing it to flood into our hearts and into our lives. We were reminded again of Janetta as we had her funeral service on Monday, and how she always challenged us, even as she was here, and she was here tonight, and she's in heaven, and she wouldn't want to come back to here. But if she was here tonight, I can guarantee you what she would have stood up tonight, and she would have told us how many verses how God blessed her by memorizing verses, and she would have challenged us, regardless of our age, to memorize the Word of God, and to think on the Word of God, and to allow it to be in our life. Hide God's word in your heart. And when it says hide it in your heart there, it doesn't mean hide it so nobody can see it. It means put it there so that it's there, so that it can flow out from your heart and in your life. Meditate on it day and night, Psalm 1 verse 2 tells us. Can you imagine life? Can you imagine a home that was flooded with the word of God? You know, it says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Where do you want success? Where better to have success than in your home, in your life? So here, God says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Joshua says, God says to Joshua, don't let this book depart out of your mouth. Meditate it day and night, that you observe to do according to all that's written, and then you'll have success. Where do you want success? In your home. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 9, Israel was commanded to have God's word in their heart and to teach it to their children, to have it as part of their life when they were laying down, when they were sitting up, when they were walking by the way, at all times to make it what part of their life, not just to say, this is instruction time, kids, And then when we're done here, then you can just go your way and forget everything. No, when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're eating, when whatever you're doing, make God's Word part of that. Again, if we relegate the Bible to Sunday and specific times rather than integrating it into our life, we will have really missed the point. God's Word is there to be integrated into every aspect of our life, to be woven into the fabric of our life, to be the foundation of our life. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you do that, the Bible says, in all wisdom. Then what does it bring forth in your life? Then wisdom that we talked about this morning, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of His Word comes from that. It gives us the wisdom that we need for the circumstances and trials of life, the difficulties, the decisions, the disappointments. God's Word is there. And if it's dwelling richly, it's there to help us through all those different circumstances of our homes and of our life. And so one of the characteristics of the Christian home should be the prominence of the Word of God. Allow it. I like the peace of God to dwell. And then admonition. The prevalence of the Word of God is great. With that comes admonition, comes that teaching. To admonish means to put in mind, to caution, to reprove gently. Isn't that great? Reprove gently. We all need reproving. We need that little nudge gently. In the home is a great place to be reproved gently, to warn. You can't have the Word of God dwelling in you richly without it admonishing you. And so we are told to allow the Word of God in our homes and in our lives, and then we're told to admonish one another. How do we do that? Well, here in particular, he says, do it musically. That doesn't mean you have to sing everything. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It doesn't mean you have to sing every verse of the Word of God. But you know, singing is a great way to learn a lot of biblical truth. We sung some great biblical truth tonight in the songs that we sung. And you probably have some of the songs memorized, and you could probably sing some of them by heart. Hopefully you put your heart into it, but off by heart. And you say, you know what? I don't just know a song. I know biblical truth. And that biblical truth actually admonishes one another. And how does it do it? Really, it does it gently, doesn't it? It does it in that gentle way because it's a song that you can sing. It doesn't mean when you think about the Bible, I believe that one of the fruit of studying the Word of God and having God's Word in your heart is also to have a song in your heart. It doesn't mean that you're perfect pitch or that you can play every instrument that you pick up or that you can even sing on key, but it's talking about the importance of music in our life here, that he says that we should allow God's Word to dwell on us richly, teaching and admonishing another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Music and songs play an important role in life. They impact the way you react. If you want to be agitated, sometimes, not that anyone really wants to be agitated, but isn't it the case that some music just gets you on edge and agitates you? Some music is very calming and very soothing, and it soothes you. Whether it's the words or the music, both of them are very important. Sometimes people say it doesn't matter what the music is as long as the words are good. No, they're actually both very important, very significant, because music itself can have an impact without any words to it. Some years ago, they did a study of the effect of music, not vocal music, but just instrumental music on plants. And they found that certain music made plants grow better. And certain music basically killed plants. Carolyn went to university, Bob Jones University. I remember this. I knew somebody, before I knew Carolyn, I knew somebody who went there. And he had an LP album, the vinyl that they got coming back in again. And it was called Plant Music. They put out an LP of plant music. But I guess it's supposed to be good music. And if it's good enough for plants, I guess that means it's good enough for us too. And, it helped. But people respond to music. And the Bible here says that one of the ways that we can show God's Word is dwelling in us richly, and we can admonish one another gently to reprove and to encourage one another, is by the music that that we listen to. God, good music in the home is one thing that God uses to help us to learn the Word of God. It's easier to have the Word of God in your heart when you have it in a song because it has a way of sticking with you. Why do advertisers use music? Because it sticks up here. You know, some radio commercials, I can't stand them, but I can't help. I start singing them and I think, I hate this. But it's just there and it just comes right back to my mind. But you know, you think about the Christian home and you think about the opportunity we have to have good music to help us to fill our minds with the Word of Christ. We can sing to one another. Now, that may not always go over very well to sing one to another, but we have that opportunity to use music to teach and to admonish one another. And it doesn't mean that when your child is disobeying that you sing the song, "Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe." Do you get it yet? You know, you realize? Trust and obey, 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 obey. It doesn't mean you start doing that, but you know, you sing those songs, and when, you know, I know as a child, as a young person, when I would start, that song would just, that was convicting. Obedience is the very best way to show you believe. Because I didn't feel like being obedient, but then I remember that it's true, that obedience shows that we believe in Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," and that song, it convicted me. It admonished me. And so we need to use the music, and the motive behind them, though, is mercy, isn't it? Because that's what he says in the end of the verse there, "with grace in your heart to the Lord." You know, as siblings, we sometimes say, you know, you see one disobey, then you start singing, "Obedience, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. You get with it, right? But no, the Bible says with grace in your heart. That's the behind it. It's the grace. It's that treating somebody better than they deserve. To sing with grace. Musical admonition is a characteristic of the Christian home. And then, of course, ardent in verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The word ardent means passionate and zealous. It's not used in this verse, but to alliterate the message tonight, allowance and then the admonition, then ardent. But ardent, it sums up verse 17, whatsoever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It means passionate and zealous. And that's really what that's talking about. You know, we can become pretty complacent in life with the things that we do day in and day out. Where's the most complacent place bound to be? The home. Because we see the same people every day, we expect the same things of them every day, and we say, well, this is their job, they're supposed to do that, that's their responsibility, and they're supposed to be home at this time, and they're supposed to do this, and we become very complacent. And it's not a good thing. So the Bible tells us, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And verse 23 gives us a real insight into what that means, because it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, in other words, he's saying do it heartily. Do it with your whole heart. God deserves our best. He gave his best for us. And God says, give your best in your home. Give your best to those that you love. And then we'll see. Wives, husbands, children, fathers. We need to give it our best. We have to put the effort, we have to put the energy into it. Imagine the impact in our homes if we say, I'm going to do my best to be the best. Whatever part you have of the home, the best son, the best daughter, the best father, the best husband, the best wife, the best mother. You say, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. What a difference our homes would be. And that's what he says, whatever you do, be ardent, be zealous, do it as unto the Lord. I thought about, as I prepared the message this week, for husbands and wives in particular, but if you worked as hard to keep the affection of your spouse as you did to get it, wouldn't that be a big difference in the relationship we have one with another? Remember in those early days of trying to do everything, flowers and dinner and all these kind of things to try and impress. And what if we worked that hard every day at keeping the affection. We gained it, now keep it. What a place. And what does he say? Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it as to the Lord. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so allowance, allow the peace of God, allow the Word of God to dwell in your life. Allow the peace to rule and allow the Word of God to be abundant. Admonish in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Be ardent, be diligent. These are characteristics of a Christian home. They'll make a Christian home a great place to be. Are there any of these things lacking in your life or in your home? And say time to say, God, I want to put these things more into play in my life and in my home. Let's pray together.